I'm fired up about this morning. I want to say before we get into anything, my wife Katarina and I have we get the opportunity. We're in this sermon series where we get to go to different campuses, and you're going to see some amazing pastors come in and speak to us. And I got to go to a few other places, and it's amazing. But man, this is home for us. And my wife and I absolutely love getting to pastor here and being a part of this church for over 14 years now. But what's awesome is our life is completely different because we found God again here. And anytime I get a chance to preach, whether it's here or at another campus, I remind the church that just like Pastor Rick just talked about, man, taste and see how good God is. My life story is much different because I began to taste and see how good God is, how good His grace is, how good His forgiveness is. And today we're going to be talking a lot about this. So I'm fired up. I'm excited. It's going to be good. And I hope we're already buckled up and ready to get some God this morning because it's going to happen. So, but before I do that, I do want to introduce you to my family. See, I've got an amazing wife and two kids, and I've heard some people critique me a little bit. And they said, Chris, when you had your daughter, I mean, Instagram was ablaze with pictures of that beautiful child, but you've only posted like one picture of your son. And I'm like, that's true. I have. So I'm afraid that one day if my son ever goes back over the archives of Instagram, he's going to be like, Dad, you didn't even love me, man, compared to sis. We're like, yeah, you're the second. You know. But I do want to introduce you to my kids. We'll start with Maya, obviously, because she's my daughter. Anyway, she's amazing. This is her. We call these the antenna. You know what I mean? You put these little pigtails in her there, and she can say, ask me for anything. I mean, look at this. Look right here. We were at Big Orange, and she said, Dad, I want two malts. Check out what's in front of her. Two shakes. That's just the Nutella shake and then the cookies and cream. Why? Because she asked. You know, that what I'm really afraid about is if this keeps going when she's 16, she's like, hey, Dad, how about two cars? You know, it just gets more expensive to not be able to say no, right? This is my daughter. I love her. She's amazing. And now, my son. Boom. There he is. See, I knew it was coming. I knew. I was ready for the, oh, you know. So this is my son, Liam. He's incredible. It's an awesome God story around him. But what I want to share right now is the way he's sleeping, which is crazy, is I sleep the exact same way. Like, I sleep with my arm up by my head, and my wife's always complaining. She's like, Chris, in the night I roll over on your sharp elbow. It's giving me a black eye every time. And I'm like, now I can, babe, genetics. You know what I mean? Nothing I can do about it. Anyway, but this is my son. He's amazing. Could you give it up for my family? I love my family. They're good. Amazing. So, my wife is at home right now. Hey, babe. She's taking care of the kiddos. She's watching online, and so that's awesome. But so you saw a picture of my son sleeping, and I'm not sure if any of you are in the new parent phase, but that's just a blessing from the Lord when they are actually asleep, right? They get up, they're awake at all hours, and for me, I've learned something about myself. When I was in my 20s, I could go on like 1-2 hours sleep, no problem. I mean, just bring it up, bring it on, day. I mean, that's how I'd wake up in the morning. But now I'm in my 30s, and that's just not the same anymore. You know, like if I don't get a good night's sleep, I start like seeing things, and you know, it's not good. And so I'm trying to deal with this, and I know with a new baby, you just have to deal with that, or so my wife tells me, get up, you know? And so I'm helping out, but one night I was helping out, and I was up really late, and I finally got him to sleep, and I laid him down in it's called a co-sleeper. I don't know if you guys have ever seen these things, but it's a little bed that you put in the bed. You put in the bed, it's, I don't know, like a new hipster invention or something. But anyway, it's like you put it the baby in the bed, so the baby's right there. So I laid our baby down. I said, good night, Liam. I go to sleep. Well, I have a dream that night that I'm laying our son into his car seat, and there's spiders and scorpions in it. I mean, just a horrible dream. So I do what any good dad would do. I grab that car seat and I chunk that thing out of the way. And I wake up to my wife screaming. And I'm like, what's going on? She's holding our son and she's screaming. She goes, Chris, you are throwing things all over the room. I'm like, what are you talking about, babe? And she's like, you're throwing things. So I get up and I'm all groggy and I go. And what I had thrown was his co-sleeper. I had grabbed that thing and chunked it into the wall all the way across our room. And so when my wife, who's still dealing with some, you know, leftover pregnancy hormones, realizes what I've just thrown across the room, she goes, breaks down. She's weeping and is like, you will never hold him again, like freaking out, you know. And so I get in this ill-conceived idea where I'm like, babe, no, look, it's fine. And I grab a stuffed animal and I put it this is bad. And I put it in the co-sleeper. I'm like, see, if I would have grabbed it, the baby would have just flopped out and been fine. I grab the co-sleeper and throw it again, and it launches this stuffed animal airborne. I'm talking like through the air, head first, right into our wood floors. And my wife now is uncontrollably weeping. You will never hold him again. Like just German tears everywhere. And she's like, you must get more sleep from here on out. I am taking care of him all night long. And I stopped to myself and I said, if I only would have known this earlier. First day home from the hospital, I've been like, ah, you know, just throwing that thing across. Oh, babe, I can't deal with it. You need to watch the baby all the time, you know. So I'm sleeping like a baby now because she's taking care of it. But we say that to ourselves often. If I just would have known, right? If I only would have known this earlier, how much of a change would it have made in my life? That's why we're doing this series, Did You Know? It's because there are aspects that if we just would know them, they could change your marriage. They could change the way you go to work, change the way you're walking into your school. They can change your life, but we've got to know them first. And I would kind of challenge you with this. Sometimes we already know something, but we need to be reminded of it. And so today, what I want to ask you guys is, did you know that God has a strategy of grace for your life? He has a strategy of grace that we're going to unpack a little bit today, but it began before the foundations of time. I'm not talking about like in the New Testament or Jesus's time or in the Old Testament. I'm saying before one thing was ever created, God set forth a strategy of grace to reach my heart and to reach yours. It's active and it's incredible and it's powerful. And right now, he wants to love you and forgive you and empower you more than you could ever know. But we've got to know his strategy of grace. And so before you answer, when I say something like, do you know God's strategy of grace? I want to caution you, don't say yes too quickly. Because right around here in the South, if I say, well, you know Jesus loves you, you're like, I've been singing that song since I was a kid. Jesus loves me. You know, of course I know that. But there's a difference between indoctrination and realization. Let me help you with this. Indoctrination is the process of teaching a person or a group of people to accept a set of beliefs uncritically. Some of us have just grown up saying, yeah, of course Jesus loves me, but we take all the power out of it. Of course God's grace is for me, but we take the power out of it because we haven't had a realization or a revelation of how true it is. A realization is the act of becoming fully aware of something as fact. My prayer is that today you walk out of here, church, fully aware of the incredible grace that God has for you and what all comes in it. We're going to unpack this a little bit in this incredible story in John 8. If you've got your Bibles, please turn with me there. We're going to jump right into the Word. You're going to know this story, but like I said, we're going to unpack it a little bit, and I pray you get something fresh and new out of it. Verse 3, in John 8, verse 3, the religion scholars and Pharisees led in a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They stood her in plain sight of everyone and said, Teacher, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses, in the law, gives his orders to stone such persons. Well, what do you say? They were trying to trap him into something incriminating so they could bring charges against Jesus. Jesus bent down. He began to write in the dirt with his finger. They kept badgering at him. He straightened up and said, The sinless one among you, go first. Throw the stone, and bending down, he wrote some more. Could you look up at me real quick? I love how our God, he doesn't play games with guilt. Because right here in this moment, church, this is Jesus, the all-knowing God. He could easily be like, well, hey, buddy. Hey, I kind of know your thought life, and hey, I know what you did. I know what you lied about, and hey, he could have started busting these guys out one by one. But instead, he even treats them with grace. This group of vipers coming at this girl. He doesn't go at them as hard as he could because why? Our God of grace doesn't play games with guilt. That's how good he is. Let's continue in verse 9. Hearing that, they all began to walk away one after another, beginning with the oldest. The woman was left alone. Jesus stood up and spoke to her. Woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you? No, master, no one. Jesus said, well, neither do I. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin. There is so much truth in this story about God's grace. But what I want to first do is challenge our definition of grace. When we say, what is grace? Many of us say, it's God's unmerited forgiveness, which is true, but not complete. So I was meeting with a pastor of mine, Pastor Bill Beck. If you don't know him, he's like the Yoda of the Holy Spirit or something. And so he's incredible. And so I was meeting with him talking about this. It's like, Bill, I want to figure out just grace. There's so much in it. And he goes, well, Chris, it's like white light. I said, what? He goes, Chris, white light contains every wavelength of color. As humans, we love a rainbow because it's beautiful and we see all the different colors, but white light has all of it. It's a lot like God's grace. See, we pick out, oh, I love this part of God's grace. I love that part of God's grace. We need to receive all of it, everything that it has to do. And so today, we're going to go into three different aspects of what God's grace can do for us. I want us to receive it today. I'm praying that God gives us fresh realization, fresh revelation on what this means. Can we go to God real quick in prayer? Then we're diving in. Lord, we love you so much. I pray that you would speak to us. God, you would coach us in this area. Help us see some things that we've never seen before. Lord God, I know that you're teaching me a lot about this. I can't wait to get to a part of this where I get to share, where you're challenging me and encouraging me to receive your fullness of grace. We love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Okay, so what do we need to understand about God's grace? Point number one, God's grace equals unconditional love. There are no conditions placed on God's love when it comes through grace. This is the way I like to put it. When I'm at my worst, God's grace is at its best. Guys, when I'm in my worst moment, God's grace is right there at its best. Think about this girl, right? I mean, the scripture says that she was caught, busted, called out, this horrible moment. You're thinking, oh my gosh, how could it get any worse? I remember when I was in high school, I was trying to think of a story where I got completely busted. I had to go all the way back to high school because we get busted a lot in high school. You know what I'm saying? We just make bad decisions in high school. Well, I made one of those bad decisions. I was dating this girl. She was actually an upperclassman, and I thought I was the man, okay? She could drive. I couldn't because she was older, so I was just walking around with swag like, yeah, pick me up at 7, you know? She'd get there, I'm like, you're paying too. You know, I didn't say that, but she came. We went to a movie, and guys, we got distracted for a minute and got involved in some underage kissing. I'm just going to tell you, it wasn't good, but we got right back into the movie just for a second. We messed up for a little bit, and I was like, okay, that's it. But I got home, and there's my mom walked up to me, and she said, son, what's on your neck? I said, Mom, it's some chili dog. I don't know, you know. She said, come here, son. And she grabbed me by the collar and pulled me over, and she said, that's a hickey. I said, Mom, that's not a hickey. I was wrestling with a friend, you know. When we get busted, we just start, oh, he punched me, you know. And she's like, you think I'm an idiot? She's like, I know exactly what that is. And then I went in the mirror and I looked and I knew. I was like, I'm busted. And this shame hit me like, oh, my gosh. I walked out. This is a real story. You can ask my mom and dad. I walked out. I said, Mom, Dad, please forgive me. Don't make me go to school tomorrow. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because I'm marked with shame. Like, I'm telling. And my dad's like, all right, son. He's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I can't go. And so he didn't make me go to school because I was so ashamed, because I was busted. See, that's what sin does. You want to hide away. You're afraid. You don't want anybody to know about it. So I called that girl. I promise you, called that girl next day at 3:30, and I dumped her. I broke up with her. And she's like, why are you breaking up with me? I can't get into it. And just hung up on her. Now, see, some of y'all parents are praying for a holy hickey. You know what I mean? Just anything to end that teenage relationship. You're like, God, we'll take it. You know, but seriously, listen to this. Our natural inclination as human beings is when we're in a mess, we want to hide away. We want to go to a place that's dark and alone and hidden, and we don't want anybody to see us. But God's truth is, when you're in the middle of your mess, the best place to be is in front of his unconditional love and grace. That's how good he is. Some of y'all are feeling busted in an area of addiction in your life. Some of you are feeling busted in how your marriage is going right now, how you're operating in your business, or fill in the blank wherever you're at. My encouragement to you is to understand, God's grace says, bring it before me. Come on, bring it in. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to work at it. You need to get in front of me. I'm your Savior. I'm your King. And we think we got to get it all right before we come in front of the Savior King. But check out what Romans 5:8 says. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I'm going to read this from the Message translation, because listen, Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. Could you look up real quick? Do you think this woman caught in adultery thought, that Jesus is showing up right on time? This is the worst time. But it's the right time for Jesus. Why? Because he didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. Aren't you thankful for that? He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. We've got to get in front of Jesus because his unconditional love covers us. Now, scholars have many different amazing ideas about what Jesus may have been writing in the sand. We don't know for sure, but I want to pass something along to you that God gave me a long time ago, and it's simply that he drew a line in the sand, and he said, "Where do I stand, woman, daughter? I stand by you." So the next time sin, mistakes, and shame knocks you in the dirt, I want you to remember who drew a line in that dirt and said, "I'm standing with you because I stand with the broken. I stand with the wounded. I stand with the needy." That's Jesus Christ, and we need to receive his unconditional love and his grace. Amen? Okay, point number two. What else do we need? We need to understand that God's grace equals the gift of forgiveness. Man, when I'm messing up, when I'm making mistakes, it's not just love. It's the gift of forgiveness. And this is how I put it. When I'm accused, God's grace says I'm acquitted. When I'm accused, God's grace says I'm acquitted. Let me read you the definition of acquittal. It's a judgment that a person is not guilty of a crime they've been charged with. Here's what's interesting about this. This is how good God's grace is. We haven't just been charged with the crime. That woman hadn't just been charged with the crime. She was absolutely 100% guilty of what she had done. Back then, a crime punishable by death. She was guilty. You and I, we're guilty of sinning. We're guilty of falling short. It's the period, end of story. But God gives us a gift of forgiveness through grace. It's to be received, not to be earned. I love the way the Lord says that, we don't need to earn it. He's already earned it for us at the cross. We have to understand that. We have to comprehend that. But now, I want to ask you a question. Has anybody in here had to earn some forgiveness in here? Let me just tell you, if you're a man in this room that's married, you've had to earn some forgiveness, bro. You have. I'm just telling you right now. My wife, when she was about 8 months pregnant, I have a standard answer at any time in her life, but especially when she's pregnant, when she says, "Chris, how do I look in this outfit?" I say, "Baby, I'm just telling you right now, praise the Lord that you are my wife. You are beautiful, you are fine, and you are perfect." You know what I mean? Like, that's just a standard thing that I just want to go into because I'm a smart man. Well, she said, "Chris, we need to have a discussion about honesty." And I was like, okay, babe, you know. She goes, "I just think that you need to tell me more honestly. If you do not like an outfit, if you think I do not look good, you must tell me." And I'm looking at her kind of like a confused puppy dog, you know, just, is this a trap? You know, but I believed her, you know what I mean? And so the next day or so, she comes out and she's wearing something. She's like, "What do you think, honey?" And I said, "You know, babe, I'd probably rethink that outfit." She said, "I'd rethink this marriage." You know, it's just, she's quick. I mean, these Germans, woo, they know. Well, so somehow I didn't pick up on that. And so then then she comes to me again. She goes, "Chris, yesterday, was I being completely irrational and over-emotional and evil almost?" And I'm like, "Babe, you know what? I'm glad that you asked me because, yes, you were. And it was a hard day for me." And she was like, "Now I'm just going to kill you." You know, so listen, I had to earn some forgiveness, man. You know what I mean? There were some Starbucks runs. There were some back rubs. You know, whatever it took, I'm earning forgiveness. But listen, it's because I dug a hole, right? This is what's so cool about God. It doesn't matter how deep you dig that hole of sin. His gift of forgiveness is just that much better. How deep it goes, how far it is, how dark it is, it's just his grace. His gift of forgiveness gets better and better and better and more incredible. And we have to receive it and understand. I want to give a disclaimer here. This is not just free reign to go and sin and keep on sinning. No. This is an invitation to take the first and most important step you can take to being healed so that you can get out of the hole that you're in. Because you ain't going to get out of it unless you receive his forgiveness. You have to start there. And so what I want to tell you is this. The Lord has an amazing plan, a strategy of grace for you. But the enemy has a plan too. You've heard it. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And let me give you a little insight to what that looks like. It's a strategy of sin and shame. You might want to write this down. Sin knocks you down. Shame holds you down. Sin knocks you down, but shame, it's going to hold you there. Now, church, there's nothing we can do about sin. We're going to sin. Listen, Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We have to understand that as humans, we're flawed. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall. Things are going to happen. But you know what we can do? We can say, I will never receive shame, not for one second in my life, because I received the gift of forgiveness from my Lord and Savior. Okay, so I want to give you two very practical things kind of within this that I believe that will help you. We have to recognize who is accusing us, who keeps coming at us. Well, first of all, church, we accuse ourselves. We lie to ourselves and we wear labels we should never wear. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I can't overcome this. The other day I was in an argument with my wife and I was getting frustrated about something little. And she was like, Chris, why are you getting frustrated at this? And this is what I said to her. I said, babe, that's just who I am. I just get frustrated easily about stuff. Months later, I was praying about something and God showed me. He said, Chris, why would you ever wear that label? This is where I want to help you. The only label that any of you should ever wear is that of a son or a daughter of God. That's it. Nothing else. Even husband or pastor or all these different things that I could wear, they should sound good. They pale in comparison to the importance of me wearing and receiving the label of I'm a son of the one true God. Amen. Yeah, give God a hand. He's good. But we're not going to receive that label if we're trying to earn it all the time. We have to receive it and understand, God, I'm going to take this. I'm going to have this. I'll receive it from you, okay? The other thing we have to understand is the enemy accuses you. Why? Because a discouraged you is an ineffective you. The enemy wants to push you down. And so here's the practical thing I want to tell you. The opposite of his accusation is usually the truth. Please hear this. The opposite of the enemy's accusation in your life is usually the truth. Check this out. The enemy hits me all the time, says, Chris, you're just not good enough. And I get to tell him, but, the Lord says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, created in the image of the one true God. And he hits me with, well, you're not capable. Well, God says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Oh, and by the way, he's prepared good things in advance for me to do in his name. So maybe I am capable after all. Well, Chris, you haven't earned it. And I get to say, well, good, Satan, because Jesus earned it for me while I was still broken and still weak and still far from him. He went to the cross with my name on his lips and paid a price that now I get to tell you to shut it. Right? The opposite of what the enemy whispers at you is true. You'll never succeed, will you? Well, no, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm ahead, not behind. I'm above, not beneath. Because I have Jesus. Because I've received his gift. So church, his grace, it's unconditional love. It's a line in the sand to protect you. His grace, it's a gift of forgiveness that he's saying, no matter how far down you think you've dug, my gift is there for you. And point number three, God's grace equals power. I'm so excited to talk to you about all this, but this is the one I'm most excited about because this was something that I truly needed. Write this down. When I feel trapped, God's grace says I can be transformed. Church, when you feel trapped, God's grace wants to remind you that you can be transformed. I'm in the middle of something going on in my life. I won't get into a ton of details, but every once in a while, fear hits me about this thing. I'm going, how do I get out of this? How is this going to work? And I just feel God saying, Chris, do not allow yourself to be trapped. You can be transformed and receive this power of grace that you can overcome. But when I read this story, I got to get honest with y'all for a second. When I read this story about this woman, Jesus gets to the end and he says what? Go and sin no more. Remember that? It says go and sin no more. Does that ever frustrate anybody else in here? Like, I'm like, well, Jesus, where's the accountability? Just go and sin no more? Like, is that, where did you check in with her on Facebook? Did you send a group of people to make sure she's doing all right? Did you plug her into a local church? And I'm like, what happened? And I go like, there has to be something more than go and sin no more. And I was praying about this, and this scripture came to my mind, Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. People, there is a power in the grace of God. when he gives us something, when he commands us to do something, there's a power in it. I want to describe this for you in a way that may seem unconventional at the beginning, but you go with me. When I think about the power to overcome something, I think about a delicious brownie, okay? Many of y'all tried to eat healthy before, you know? It's easy, right? Let's just eat healthy. Let's just do it. But then somebody brings out a plate of delicious goodness. And it's just warm and amazing. And it's like, maybe I'll start my diet next week, right? Because those brownies are so good. I'm going to eat them. It's just like us when we say, well, I'm just going to stop doing that sin. I'm just going to stop doing it. Much easier said than done, right? What about the other end of it? Just, well, I'm going to start getting in the Word. I'm going to start serving more. I'm going to start doing all these different things. Look, I did some research on people trying to start some things. The fitness world that's out there, club revenue worldwide, reached $81 billion in 2015. Health clubs, $81 billion. Just to put that in perspective, Major League Baseball in 2016 earned $10 billion, and they were doing like jumping jacks. They were so excited about it. That's a huge number, a huge amount of money earned. You know what that tells me? It's a lot easier to sign up for a fitness club than it is to go work out. Right? Here's why. Write this down. My will wavers, but God's grace guarantees. Your will to don't eat that brownie, just don't eat it, it will waver. Your will to get up and get in the gym, it will waver. Your will to say, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to do that, I just won't do it, just I've got to have more self-control, I've just got to do it, you will fail. No matter how long you go, your will is not enough. God's grace is always enough. God's grace and empowerment to help you overcome. And it reminds me of a story that's very well known in the Word of God, and I always leave out one of the most important parts of it. But it's the story of Peter walking on water. Do you remember this moment in the scriptures when there's Peter and he's standing there and he's looking out and he's seeing, you know, the water and the waves, and but all of a sudden he sees Jesus coming toward him, right? And here comes Jesus. And this is the part I always skip over. He said to the Lord, Lord, command me and I will come to you. And what did Jesus say? Come. One word gave a man the ability to do the impossible and walk on water. It wasn't because Peter was Jesus' favorite disciple. That's not why. It wasn't because Jesus and him had this cool, like, eye locked on eye thing going on. That wasn't it. It was because the Lord commanded him and gave him the power to do what he commanded him to do. That's exactly what it was. So, church, anything God is asking you to do, we need to stop seeing these things. This is me. I've done this before. As these legalistic commands. That's not what they are. They're life-giving commissions. You're commissioned and empowered by grace. When Jesus looked at this woman and said, go and sin no more, he was giving her the power and the authority to walk in that and to live that out. And that's exactly what God wants to give you through his grace. I want to go all the way back to the beginning of this story. When we look at this woman caught in adultery, there's a clear storyline going on here. And it's the enemy's plan of sin and shame. Think about this for a second. Go with me, church. Here he is. You can think about the devil just wringing his hands going, I got her. So first he's tempting her and he sees her falling into temptation. He's going, I got her. Then she begins to fall into that temptation and she's living a lifestyle of sin. He's loving it. Then all of a sudden, you know, the guilt that must have been weighing on her knowing that she's living a lifestyle like this. He's wringing his hands even more. And then he takes it to a whole new crescendo. He brings in these religious men and they bust her. They catch her. Now they're dragging her out in the middle of the city square in front of all these people. Now he's going, man, I got her even worse. Now she's full of shame. Whew, and I'm going to make Jesus look like a fool all in the middle of it. The strategy of the enemy. But guys, I want to propose something to you. What if there's another story going on? What if there was a loving Savior? It wasn't wringing his hands going, I got her. With his arms open, he said, finally, I've got her. I've got her. See, what the enemy had planned to be the worst day of this woman's life became the best day of her life. All because of one name, Jesus Christ. What sin in your life, what shame in your life are you allowing the enemy to frame and say, this is going to make you further away from God than you've ever been? But if you would just allow the grace of God, the strategy of grace to frame it, it will be the thing that brings you closer to God than you've ever been in your entire life. That's God's strategy of grace. That's what he can do. He's a miracle working God. So today I'm asking you to search your heart. Find the place where you say, I have not been receiving the fullness. And this is just a part, guys. There's so much more to it. But his grace, unconditional love, unlimited forgiveness, and amazing power, it's available to you. Let's receive it. When we let the enemy frame this, our stories of mistakes, we get shame. When we let Jesus frame our mistakes, we get freedom. That's the power of his grace. Amen. Let's bow our heads all across the room.